There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Everybody, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm Lachelle Weamy. I am so excited to be here today, you guys, with Catherine. Catherine Thomas Humphreys is going to be sharing so much inspiration, so many practical tools. You guys are going to be inspired by her story, and I cannot wait for you to get a chance to get to know her. So before, you know, I get any further, I need to say, hey, welcome, girlfriend. I am so glad that you're here.
Hey there, Lachelle. Thank you so much for having me. I've been really excited about joining you on this one. So thank you.
Okay, Catherine, I would love for you to do yourself justice by telling us a little bit more about you. Who are you? How are you trying to show up in the world? What are you most passionate about?
Oh, yeah, sure. So my name's Catherine. I run a business called The Finfluencer, and that's like financial influencer. And that's not because I think I am. It's because I 100% believe and have found out myself that every single one of us is our own greatest influencer with our finances. So finances, it sounds really boring, but it's not, because it facilitates everything we do. It's the thing that allows us to live the life we want, the way we want, and make the choices that we want. And that took me a long time to learn, which I'm sure we'll kind of uncover as we go. So I coach people to find that out themselves. I was a financial advisor. That was kind of fun, a little bit product-based, and it was missing the fact that the person sitting opposite me actually had all these tools to empower themselves. So the coaching is me just coming around to the other side of the table and saying, hey, you've got this, you know how to do this. And when we know it ourselves, we do it, we live it, we breathe it. So that's me. Yeah. And that is my absolute passion.
I love that. And, you know, you just highlighted something that I think is really important, that when we believe that we are capable of something is when we are willing then to take the steps forward to do the things that need to be done. But if we don't believe that it's possible for us, if we don't believe that we have what it takes to do it, it's really, really hard to get that started. And so first of all, I just have to thank you for infusing your belief in us, even before we maybe see it in ourselves, but also to recognize the importance of really diving deep into ourselves and believing that whatever it is that we need or want is possible, even when it comes to finances and wealth. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So Catherine, how did you decide that this was something that you really wanted to dive into? Tell me a little bit about your journey or what you saw in others.
No, I decided to come into this the hard way. So but then I think that kind of fits in with the theme of the podcast, that becoming unstuck. If I can stop someone maybe going through such a hard journey. So just to rewind for me then, I had a very kind of modest childhood. My parents were nurses. There were three of us, and it was all we never ever went without, but there was never any more. And there was a real sense that money would run out. And I carried that unknowingly as a belief within myself into my adult life. And I thought, well, hey, why not start adult life on the hard path? And I actually began, I left school and became a mom. So like, whoa, straight in there. Really, really financially difficult pathway to be single, raising a child at a young age. For me, I'm over in the UK. And with that comes a lot of feeling of failure, shame, like you're to blame, you feel guilty. There's a real fear that it's going to run out, that you're not going to manage. And I love being a mom. I have three now. I absolutely adore my children. But it's very hard to be 100% present when in the back of your mind you're thinking, where's the next money coming from? How's the shopping going to happen this particular week? And you're making choices about what gets paid or what doesn't get paid. Of course, I'd carry that on for some time. It wasn't a short lesson. And then after, Well, actually, I remember we ended up moving house. It was probably in my early 30s. And we had a housing crisis over here. I think it coincided with yours in sort of 2007-08. Mm-hmm. And we moved mm-hmm. house four times within under 2 years, all at the none of our wow. fault. And my stepdad actually said something to me. He said, you must be doing something or creating something. And I was there saying, well, it's all happening to me. We weren't mm-hmm. misbehaving, we weren't to blame. But it was enough of a chink in the kind of belief to make me think, okay, is something going on here? Am I inadvertently, by believing it's scarce, by believing I don't deserve it, by believing I'm scared, actually recreating that? Mm-hmm. As I say, that's without that blame. So that was kind of right. the pause and the interruption. And from there on in, that's where the change actually began, because I started to look inside instead of outside for the answers.
Mm. You know, that's one of the things that is a general theme of the Unstuck podcast. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because, and I've said this before to people who listen regularly, that the one thing, the theme that I noticed in all of the books that I was reading, the podcasts I was listening to, the conversations I was having, is that the thing that stood out to me with people who had a successful life in the sense of their own perception of a well-lived life was that they chose to rise above their circumstances, and that they took accountability for it. They didn't fall into the blame game. And I think that it's so easy for us to feel helpless and hopeless when we truly believe that everything that's going on is outside of us and that we have no control over it. But it was when your stepdad gave you that, your power back, basically, yeah. and said, okay, what in here can I own? Yeah. And when we own it, then we have the power to change it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I think with money, it feels very external, like it's this like outside world, third party mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. But it so closely reflects how we feel about ourselves. Even the words like value, deserve, worth, those are words mm-hmm. that apply to ourselves and to money. And mm-hmm. they're very closely correlated. So as we start to feel our own value, we see and attract value. When we feel worthy, we charge our worth or ask for our worth. Mm-hmm. And I think that for in the money and internal world, that relationship is yes. really, really key to see that these two are not, yes. it's a relationship and they are connected.
Absolutely. You know, this is a great example. So one of my streams of income is in sales, and we have a product that is what I would consider a premium product, right? And there are so many people that I coach that have this mindset that it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind them that a Mercedes doesn't apologize for being a Mercedes. No. And so when we think that we're, you know, a Ford Focus, we're going to ask for the Ford Focus price tag. Right. And so just kind of, you know, that's a picture in your mind of what Catherine's talking about here, that your own worth is reflected mm-hmm. in what you think you are worth to the outside world, and therefore it can keep you in scarcity.
Absolutely. And the example there for anyone who's a business owner might be the prices that you set for yourself, as you've alluded to with that mm-hmm. premium service. If you don't feel that you're a very valuable person or you've got much to mm-hmm. offer, even if you know right. way more than the rest of us, but if you don't really believe mm-hmm. it, then the price mm-hmm. tag you attach to yourself will reflect that. So, and that could be a challenge for us, just to say, well, actually, I need to increase my prices, but do the inner work first in how yeah. you're worth yeah. it.
Absolutely. So were you a financial advisor before you became this financial coach, or did that kind of follow?
So when I pieced together the yeah. finances and got mine right, and when I got them mm-hmm. right, that meant I could buy a house. I doubled my income 2 years in a row because I decided that's what I was going to do began financial advising. And I thought, yeah, I can now help the old me. But financial advice yeah. is much more about, here's a solution to your problem. And I'm kind of sat there thinking, hey, I'm still not really helping old me. And then I thought, well, actually coaching is what I needed. And that tip from my stepdad is an example. Right.
Yeah.
So then I moved into coaching. So I've let go of the advice. I keep all the product knowledge. I keep all the kind of skills-based stuff, which is part of my coaching.
Right.
But really it's like, hey, you're sat there with me. I will take you on that journey that I've been through, but for your, in your language, in your words, in your experience. And then when you're ready, we'll apply the skills that you need to now take both that emotional and practical side of money forward into your version of success.
I love that. So you have both the solution tied to it, but you recognize that there has to be some foundational work behind the scenes inside of our minds in order for us to be able to utilize the tools and the strategies that you're given, right? Because if you're looking at your tools with a money mindset that is not serving you, you're not going to be able to utilize those tools to their fullest advantage, right? So you really are trying to make sure that we have the foundations right, and then you give us the tools that we can use.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's a little bit like, you know, when you approach a diet and it's a bit like budgeting, you're not allowing yourself anything, but then this other part of you pops into the kitchen and eats its way through the fridge. And it's the same with money.
Right.
If we budget, but we don't like listen to the mindset, the feelings, then what we do is we sneak out and spend on Amazon or ASOS at midnight. And then we're going through this cycle. So you set yourself up to fail if you just focus on the practical, but by working the two together, you will succeed. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. And so tell me a little bit about what are some of the things that you either saw in your own money mindset or the people that you typically help. Give us a picture of what that looks like so that our audience can say, yep, that's definitely me. This is something I need to work on.
Yeah, it took me a little while to see it because when you hear people's stories, they all sound very different. But there's only a certain set of feelings, and then the feelings tend to trigger different thoughts based on your experiences. Going back to the dieting, I see the two extremes. The people who are very, very restrictive, who maybe don't allow themselves money or don't put their prices up or deny themselves the kind of treats that we should have in our life.
Yep.
And then I see the kind of compulsive, kind of very big spenders. Maybe they don't have the money to spend. Maybe they do. It doesn't matter. So the feelings and mindset tend to be similar, but the outputs can be quite different. So quite a lot of the clients I'm working with at the moment they're big spenders. And then with that comes a feeling of guilt. So they spend guilt, and that's the cycle. So what I help them do is spend well, because it's not about not spending. It's about putting your money in the place that you want it to go to direct it into what supports your family, into your life and your dreams. So it's not don't spend at all. It's just spend well, intentionally and consciously. Mm. So I think I really enjoy working with those people. I was actually the opposite. I'm not going to treat myself to anything. And I still remember being a little girl. And my dad would say to me, my brother and sister, do you want anything from the shop? And inside I'm going, yes, I'd love a chocolate bar. And I'd hear myself say no. So my mindset and belief about me being deserving and allowing things was very, very restrictive. But I do get a lot of joy working with people that are the opposite altogether.
Absolutely. You know, I can relate to that. I think you made me think about this. Like, I grew up in a very poor household, I guess. My dad was a farmer and my mom stayed home with us, and my dad was given $1,500 a month to raise three kids on. And that was it. So we didn't have a lot of money. And I remember, like, in high school, my Spanish class was going to go to Mexico. And I remember I didn't even ask because I didn't want to put my mom and dad in the position that they had to tell me no. And so I didn't even bring it up. And I think that has, you know, absolutely carried me through my adulthood. And it was interesting because one of the things that I noticed, and I can look back now, because, you know, it's always easier to look back, right? You can't see it in the middle. But one of the things that has literally changed my life was when I started one of my first businesses. And what sparked that business was washing my face. And I know this is going to sound silly, but that washing my face led me to start to align myself with this premium skincare brand. But my point is that I didn't think that myself was worthy enough to spend the money on washing my face. So I had whatever random shampoo happened to fall on it in the shower was good enough as it was going to get. And I was 35, and all of a sudden I look in the mirror and I thought, what the heck? I needed to figure this out. But I, up to that point, had never considered myself worthy. Mm-hmm. Everything that I needed to do was to give back to my family or to whatever, even though I made a good living. I had every bit of resources to spend that money on myself, but I didn't feel like I was worthy.
Yeah. And I think you just hit on it, that that childhood experience and belief, or the interpretation of it. So you interpreted that you weren't worthy, or not, that there wasn't enough, or, and that means often we interpret that we're not good enough. So that, that extra extension, because children, we interpret it at, based on what little we know at the time, but then we carry it unconsciously all the way through.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that, and I find this more with women than men, and that's just from my experience, I'm not being sort of sweeping, is that we learn not to ask, or we feel that maybe we don't deserve it, or that we should be quieter. So therefore, we tend to have this belief in and around money that we're not to take more, that that might be perceived as us being greedy or bossy or noisy. And actually to step into our power, because when you look at what women do with money, we give it to our families, we raise our children, we build our communities. Mm-hmm. So it's, if you can maybe can't quite take it yourself and think, well, what would you do with it? How much good could you do with that? And ways that you can talk to that child, I guess, to work through that belief and make space to create a new one.
Yeah. I think that, you know, one of the things that's coming to my mind when we're having this conversation is that the money and the way that money is in our lives and our relationships with it can be a really good diagnostic symptom of a deeper thing that we have to work on, right? So like for me in that example, my worthiness was something that I had to work on. And I'm going to give you an example of somebody in my life that I'm really, really close to. And she also has suffered from a lack of worthiness her whole life, but on this opposite spectrum of spending money that she didn't have on a designer clothes, because she felt like if it had a certain tag on it, that meant that she was going to look better, which meant that she was going to be accepted, right? Yeah. And so it was all of that external spending that she was trying to do to patch together a worthiness from the outside. And I think that when you can look at that and start to recognize it, you can start seeing that, okay, that's a symptom of something deeper. And once I start to address those deeper things, everything else is going to start falling into place, including our money, right?
Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, the two examples you've given of you versus your friend, both stem from exactly the same, but the output is different. It's, you know, we've interpreted it, but we've acted differently.
Right.
And I think the perhaps the hardest bit to believe, and it's about trust and belief on this one, is we think that we can feel good with our money when it comes, or that we can feel grateful when it arrives. But it's like we are sat there waiting for the outside world to change our inside world. And it's reverse. We have to start, identify the symptom and start with that inside. What thoughts need to change? What feelings need to change? What space can I create by being present that creates something new or something different? And where's that kind of time and energy got to be placed?
I love that. You guys, I can't wait to talk to Catherine more about what are some next steps. So what can we do to start taking ourselves, if we're recognizing some of these patterns in ourselves, like, hey, I'm not where I want to be with my money mindset, and I want to be getting that right, and I have some work to do. What things can we start doing today that is going to help move us on that path? But first, I'm going to tell you all about something that my team and I have been working on. You guys, we need to find a better way to connect with one another, and we have come up with it. So I can't wait to tell you all about it, and we're going to be right back in just a moment. But first, let me tell you all about my connection, and then we're going to get back to our conversation with Catherine. Hey, Lachelle here, and I just got to ask you, do you ever listen to podcasts or special training from gurus who are telling you exactly what to do, but you still have questions? Wouldn't it be amazing if you actually could ask questions to the people who are presenting to give you your personalized answer to how you can get into action and apply it to your unique situation? That is exactly why I created the Better Club Elite, which is a very special, very exclusive monthly membership that gives you access to those question and answer sessions that are going to get you into action and get you all lined up with everything that you need to start being better, doing better, and having better in life and in business. The support, the answers, and everything that you need to get you into action. So let's go. Okay, Catherine. So up to this point, like we've done such a great job of picturing, you know, what some of the symptoms could be that might be holding us back that we didn't even maybe realize that we had. Where are some ways that we can start to move that dial to get into the direction of a different situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing, there has to be a decision to do so. You have to decide.
Yes.
These are the things I'm picking up. It's not right for me. It's not quite working. And I'm going to make a decision. A bit like when we go off and train for a marathon or something. You first start with, I'm going to commit to doing this.
Yes, absolutely.
Because without that, the rest isn't going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
The second, in terms of, I said earlier, we need to work on the mindset at the same time as the skills. So by all means, go and find out money, knowledge, read books, listen to podcasts, but put your energy into the work on the inside. And by that, I mean, just start by being really aware. So if you go and check your bank balance, what's the feeling? Well, you know, how's the body reacting to that? If you're find yourself just about to buy something in the middle of the night, just pause. What's triggered that? What thought has gone through the mind and what feeling is associated to it? So you could almost spend a whole week just saying, every time I do a money thing, either ask for money, spend money, check money, or imagine it, what's going on? What's that feeling? Check in. Until that awareness starts to become more present, more kind of, because 95% of what we're doing is unconscious. So without turning the light onwards, you can't actually get in there. So you're trying to be aware to interrupt it. Mm-hmm. Once you're aware of it, that's the place you can play. That's the place you can start to make changes. So I'm going to say, find a financial coach, aren't I? Find someone who can work with this for you. But if you don't find a financial coach, or you don't find, so I even do a membership where it's video coaching. So it's not all about having a lot of money to start with. You can start that journey with less. The next thing would be,
I'm going to say real quick before we go to the next thing, I'm just going to say something off of that, Catherine, because I think that one of the things that I always want you guys that are listening to remember is that I'm bringing you experts to give you very practical tools. But what I have found is that the accountability that comes with these experts is really what helps to change the dial. So I can read a million books on this, but if I don't have somebody that's holding me accountable to do it, I'm not going to get the results that I'm looking for. And Catherine, you mentioned this, and this is like, I speak this like over and over again. There's three things that I have found that get people from where they were to where they are. Number one is the desire. You recognize that there's something that you don't want anymore and you want better. The second thing is making the decision. You declare it, you decree it, you commit to it. And then the third step is to do.
Yeah.
But so oftentimes we kind of can let ourselves off the hook in the doing part, and then it just, we lose all that momentum. And so I wanted to remind people of that I will always give you guys very practical tools, but remember that there are resources out there that help you to hold yourself accountable for that. Okay. So I'm so sorry to go off on that tangent, but I felt it wasn't a tangent.
I really appreciate that, because I think going back to the marathon example, if you set up to do something, it's knowing that you're turning up to a running group, or you've got a coach cheering you on, or you've posted it on Instagram, and you're now going to have to hold yourself accountable. So thank you. I think that's a massively valuable part in the success after the decision, rather than just kind of running on the spot, really, isn't it? So definitely find an accountability partner that you trust, whether that's a coach or someone else, not someone who's going to pull you down and say, hey, look what I bought, I've fallen off the wagon, that's not going to work at all.
Right
So then I think after the awareness of why you're doing what you're doing, don't worry so much about the how, but then start to think about, well, if the future me has money or the future me has can charge higher prices, what's that version of me thinking and feeling? Because if I've got lots of money, I'm not waking up saying I can't afford that. So change the thinking first. If you want the money and you believe that you can step into having more, and you do deserve more, you are enough and you do deserve more, then what's that version of you thinking? And do that in a very sensory way. What's it feeling? What's it thinking? What's it look like? You know, we're all different. Some people love visuals. Yeah. Some love smells and sounds. So really try and experience that future you. And then it's bridging the gap. And there's lots of ways to do that. I think I would take up way too much of your time if I covered that now.
Well, you know, I just want to recap so that we have people that can really make sure that they've grasped this, because you spoke to me. I still have this, I hate looking at my bank stuff, even though I have plenty in there. It brings me anxiety to look at that, right? And so then that's something that I have to acknowledge, like, okay, where am I feeling that in my body, right? And then what you're saying is this, having that acknowledgement of how you're feeling in that moment is going to be the first step to saying, okay, I'm having a negative feeling when it comes to something that should be a positive feeling, right? Yeah. And then what you're saying is that we have to come up with an idea in our mind of what would we like to experience when I open up my bank account?
Exactly.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly that. So and, I think,
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think so it's the body has a way of kind of remembering what the thoughts are. And that's really what your feelings are telling you. Mm-hmm. It's your body running your mind saying this thing, bank statement, money, is an anxious thing. There's a fear here. So what is that fear? That fear is not a feeling you want in and around money, because fear suggests it's going to run out, or fear suggests, you know, what those. So then it's, what does that fear make you think? And if you can just maybe even pick one feeling and one thought, I think when I look at my bank account, I want joy. I want gratitude. I want, how can I make it grow? I want that kind of space. And it's that process of swapping. And I'm not saying that that's flippantly easy, but hold that. So if you've recognized it, the next time, once you recognize it, try and imagine what you need to do to let go of that and replace it with a new feeling.
And I know that you said that, you know, we could literally talk about this all day, which I think that you're such an amazing wealth of knowledge. And like, I'm having so much fun talking to you. Can you give me maybe one or two examples of what you could do to bridge that gap between what I'm feeling negatively and what I want to feel? Maybe two practical tools that I could use.
So if you're feeling the negative, then it's getting really curious about why. So you already alluded to the kind of upbringing with your dad and your parents. So the why sits in there somewhere, and it might be the memory not asking, but you might have asked for something before and been told no, or you might have just sensed that mom and dad weren't happy, that there was an anxiety here going on. Or you may have experienced loss, either of a person. So for some people, it's simply one of the parents leaving. It's very, very similar feeling. So spend some time exploring that memory, write it out. Ask yourself, I treat it like a library book. Do I want that book anymore? I'm going to just take that book back. What book do I want instead? Because that's where our power sits. So rather than deny it or squash it or force the change, hear it, acknowledge it, talk to that part of you, if that's how you do things, and honor that. And reassure it. We know now. You can see the numbers in the bank account. There's no need for anxiety. What is a nicer feeling that you would like to have instead? And then you take yourself very much in the present to looking at that and feeling that, thinking that. Now, that doesn't sound very practical. The first one possibly did, but the second one doesn't sound very practical.
But it helps. So for sure, right? It does, because it's so important. And I'm just like you. I love the subconscious mind. I love all of the things, the programming, the perceptions, right? Mm-hmm. The stories that we tell ourselves of our memories from when we were kids and how that can impact. And so if we don't go back and really dive into where those come from, it's really hard for us to get to that point. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. And I think you need the acknowledgement, but obviously coaching is about moving forwards. So I think
yes,
maybe the next thing is, what way can you come up with that is going to help you stay on track with that new thought? So is it, for example, I love music, so I create myself Spotify playlists that have music and sounds that I'm associating with this new feeling. My daughter loves perfume, so she wears her favorite perfume when she's going to do something she doesn't like to do, to try and get other parts playing along. I know some people like vision boards, or that put the number that you want in your bank account, even if it's not there yet, put that as your PIN number on your phone, or put a photograph that associates it. So use all your senses to support that new thought and feeling, and have someone who's going to just check in with you and say, how's that going? Because it's not consistent. It's not a linear, easy journey. It's about checking in, checking in, checking in. But maybe some of those sensory tips might help get to that positive thought and feeling place.
I love that. And just like you said, when you make that commitment, when you make that decision, even though it's not a linear process and it can be kind of bumpy sometimes, it's going to be worth it because you've desired something and you've made the decision. So I'm so grateful for your inspiration, your wisdom, your practical tools, Catherine. Is there anything that we haven't had a chance to cover that you really want to make sure to mention?
Okay. So I do coaching, but I do give a lot of my tools away for free. And that is because I started in that very hard place. And I think if I'd just had more support earlier, I would have got unstuck much, much sooner. So one of the ones that I think people might find quite useful is called a Money Smart Quiz. It's a really simple, fun quiz. You just pop in what your answers are, and it's going to tell you, are you a seeker or a finder or a maker, followed with some really practical tips of things that you could look at. So that's just for free. If I could maybe share that in the show notes or something, that would be lovely.
Absolutely, yes. I will make sure that everything is in the show notes for you guys to be able to not only follow Catherine, but be able to connect with her and her resources so that she can be the person that helps you with this. So that's amazing.
That's amazing. Thank
anything else
much.
That we haven't had a chance? I want to make sure that I didn't cut you off.
Suddenly I think I've done so much talking. I hadn't done any thinking. I guess other than the money quiz, I mentioned a membership in terms of, I have broken down the process that I've been through myself and the process I take my clients through on a one-to-one, and delivered it in little bite-sized videos. So it's kind of like an accountability. You check in each week. There's a new little piece of information, either skills or mindset. Mm-hmm. You can just work your way through. It'll take you a little bit longer than the one-to-one, but that's absolutely fine. And then from there, you can access quite a lot of my other resources. I do a money date every month for free. Anyone's welcome. You turn up and we go through some of these. There's always an interesting topic. Yeah. Next Mondays is all about the millionaire mindset, or it might just be how to budget. So a real broad range. So you'd be very welcome, anyone, to come on in and join and find the resources that support you.
That sounds amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you have just been such a gift to us. So thank you so much. And I always ask my guests to give us one question that we can all think about that's going to help us move from where we are to where we want to be. So if you can think of a good coaching question to pose to the audience, that would be amazing.
Okay, that's lovely. I think it's not so much a question, but whatever your question is, follow it with, tell me more. Because wherever you're exploring, why am I feeling this? Tell me more. Tell me more. It's just that peeling of layers and peeling of layers and peeling of layers. So if you notice something next time you check in on that bank account or budgeting, tell me more.
Yeah.
And really just be the curious explorer.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I love that. When you're curious, you're not judging, which I love that as well. So thank you for the reminder of that. You guys, if you have enjoyed this conversation as much as I have, make sure that you share this. If you haven't already, take a quick picture, a Snapchat of us, push it in your story so that everybody in your world can get to know Catherine and everything that she's up to. And I am so grateful for all of you guys for tuning in. And I wish you a life of abundance and wealth and healthy money mindset. And I just really, really can't wait to see how lives are changed from this conversation, Catherine. So thank you so much, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. And I will be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Untucked Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.